And hello, welcome back everybody. Hopefully everybody's doing well. Just checking, making sure everything's good. No Common Crown practice tonight. Everybody's feeling like shit, including me. I think I'm getting a little bit of a chest cold. I wasn't on 5 till midnight last night because I felt like crap. So we're gonna muscle through this today because I felt like it was pertinent to what I've been talking about quite a bit. So we're gonna talk about Mahmoud Khalil, who was a activist for Palestinian rights and a protester who was basically detained illegally by all looks of it. And I also want to talk about Thomas Massie a little bit and some of the ongoing storm going on around him. I would say something else, but I know YouTube doesn't like me swearing in the first couple minutes here. So I just figured all the stuff that we're going to talk about in today's show is pertinent. So I would do a quick podcast. Well, not so quick because I've quite a bit to go over, but as always, make sure you hit the like button below. If you're watching on Twitter, put a little heart there, throw a little bit of something in the chat, say hello, come over to YouTube, subscribe over there as well. Leave super chats if you feel so inclined. And for $2.99 a month, you could see some of Common Crown footage, which once again, I would be there had everybody felt a little bit better, but we got some cool shows coming up. So make sure you go over to commoncrown.com. I believe Jen just updated the website, so you should see all of our future dates there. Tiger Fitness through the link below. Use code Kyle at checkout to let them know I sent you to get some fantastic supplements. Obviously all the stuff that I got back there and that I use quite frequently, the pre-workouts, BCAAs, hydration mixes, you name it, it's there if you're into health and fitness, and lots of fantastic protein bars as well. So make sure you go over there and check that all out. Fox and Sons Coffee and Deem Fit through the link below as well. All that good stuff. Everything's in the description below if you want to look up anything that I'm talking about. So without further ado, let's get into today's show.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And welcome back to In Liberty and Health, everybody. This is episode number 392. Shalom Mahmoud, an omen. We're going to be talking about Mahmoud Khalil, who is a activist that was deported, and obviously talk about the crap storm going on around Thomas Massie. And of course, anytime Thomas Massie is mentioned, I am quick to defend him because he is our true American hero and the most America first congressman, if not the most America first politician that we have today, including, well beyond Trump, who, says one thing but does another. And is currently calling for the primarying of Thomas Massie, which just, you're out of your mind. The dude endorsed you twice. The guy doesn't vote for any foreign aid. He'd vote for your bills if they weren't loaded with pork or, still remain at insane levels of spending. But we're calling for the primarying of Thomas Massie. I don't get it. Trump does seem different this time around. And as I've expressed plenty of times on the podcast that I do believe that he does have better people around him. And it does seem like he's learned. Like I said, this time it genuinely seems different. And I was wrong about quite a bit of things. But in this respect, I don't know what the hell he's thinking. He's running against shouting down Thomas Massie, who voted against the continuing resolution, which would basically leave the spending at Biden's levels when Trump has, basically a unified front underneath him that he can really do just about anything he wants. And it's probably going to make it through. Yeah, I don't get it. It's really, really dumb. So anyways, Eddie, good to see you. Hopefully I'll see you here in about a week or two. And Kyle, good to see you as well. If you're back on Twitter, I saw your account got suspended. If you're back on, let me know. Shoot me a message and I'll make sure I follow you. But Red Hawk, I'm going to meet in the middle with you here. You're probably not going to like my take, but that's okay. So the whole thing with Thomas Massie is just retarded. I think it's not even wasting political capital, because I really don't think it's Trump expending a lot of political capital. It's just a waste of air, because Massey is with him on all the stuff that he's doing right now, at least the good stuff, the Doge cuts. But, you know, with this continuing resolution, it basically leaves spending at the same levels that Biden left it at whenever he left office. When, like I said, right now is the time to do stuff because the most momentum is behind you right now. And, you know, you could definitely get the spending cuts in there, but, you know, why would you not do it now? So I think it's dumb. I think it's a waste of air. And I was genuinely surprised to see how many people, even on the pretty far, like pro-Trump train, had came to defend Thomas Massie. It was genuinely surprising. Now, the usual retards, your Laura Loomer, DC Drano, Cat Turd, and some of these other goofballs had, of course, you know, just sided with Trump in an NPC-like manner and just said, oh, you know, he's, you know, being principled and, you know, he's just some anti-Trump guy. You can like never make some people happy because once again, Thomas Massie endorsed Trump twice. He endorsed Ron DeSantis first. And I wanted to make this point too, because there was I've seen some people talk about this. I think it was Red Hawk, Bronze Age Pervert, who had brought this up in reply to that stupid captive dreamer dude, who just seems like a total loser. But he was saying something about Thomas Massie and the reply was, I think Bronze Age Pervert said something to the degree of like, oh, people who support Thomas Massie but won't vote for Trump because of Zionism. And Massie endorsed Ron DeSantis, who is an insane Zionist as well. He's got a point. Like, if you're going to say that you like Thomas Massie because he's not a Zionist, but you know, you don't square this circle. The reason why Thomas Massie supported Ron DeSantis, at least in my estimation, from what he said himself, is that he basically liked Ron DeSantis personally. Him and, you know, I think he said their wives were friends or something like that. And they served together in the House Freedom Caucus. And once again, Ron DeSantis never really went after him politically. Now, granted, he never had the power to do that, but he didn't never really went after him professionally. So I think maybe there's a little bit of bad blood there, but also, you know, the fact that he has a history with DeSantis, I think that was the main reason why Massie endorsed DeSantis. And to the DeSantis people as well, I figure I got to give these people their lickings as well. A lot of the stuff that they knocked Trump for, DeSantis was just as bad, if not worse than him on some of these things, like the whole South American front where, you know, they were complaining about how Trump handled Venezuela or sanctions or stuff like that. Ron DeSantis was just as bad and would have been worse. And, you know, to write in Ron DeSantis and Thomas Massie, like I saw some people doing, I get it. If you don't like Trump, that's fine. I give Trump wins when I think it's warranted and I take away and knock him when I think it's warranted. But like Ron DeSantis dropped out and endorsed Trump. Massie endorsed Trump like 2-3 weeks before the election. So I don't really see the point of, you know, writing in DeSantis or Massie, which I mean, obviously we're months and months after the election now at this point, but like, I don't really get the point of that. Like it's just kind of like a useless virtue signal. I didn't vote because I didn't think the Trump administration this time around was going to be any different than the first administration. Wrong. I still probably wouldn't have voted had I known things would go this way. I kind of debate that, but I mean, it's useless to even think about that now because once again, we're so many months out. But just like the DeSantis people are dumb. They're very, very dumb. Okay, real quick, before you go, Red Hawk, can't say, but saying foreigners get the privilege of the Bill of Rights is civilizational suicide. I'm not going to weep for any. I agree. And when I get into that, I just want to say I agree with you, but there's more that I want to flesh out here. But before you go, just know I do agree that people who aren't actual citizens of the United States should not be afforded the rights to, or should not be afforded the same constitutional rights. So anyways, yeah, just the whole deal with Thomas Massie is dumb. Like, I just think it's a complete and total waste of time in that respect. So let me read this again. Yeah. Trying to oust Massie is fuel for the argument that Trump needs to surround himself with yes men. I don't totally believe that, but this definitely makes it look that way. Yeah, I kind of agree as well. So anyways, now that I gave the DeSantis people their lashings, I think it's time that we move on to the story at hand. So Mahmoud Khalil was deported, or, you know, thrown into an ice center, and it doesn't look good by all stretch of the imagination. So I've been talking about this quite a bit, and this was probably one of the biggest drivers as to why I wouldn't vote for Trump, is because of the speech laws that he passed in his first administration, and a lot of, you know, Republicans underneath him had vehemently, not just kind of tacitly, but vehemently supported censorship over a foreign government. Could you imagine if they did this for China, Russia, anywhere, any other country in the world other than Israel? People would rightfully lose their fucking minds if we were to have speech laws around any other foreign government, but we do it over this one and nobody bats an eye. So I've been talking about this ad nauseum. I understand I probably sound like a broken record at this point, but this point just really needs to be driven home, because the main reason why a lot of people voted for Trump is because they said, free speech, he's better on free speech. Well, as we can see, not really. And I'm going to go over some of the statement put out by the HHS, the executive order that he put out, and then some of the statements made. So first, I wanted to go to this article from antiwar.com and read this for you guys, and we'll continue on all down here. So let me make sure this all looks good. Okay, so from antiwar.com, written up by our friend of the show, Dave DeCamp. Trump says arrest of green card holder for pro-Palestine activism is first of many to come. Mahmoud Khalil is married to an American citizen and has not been charged with a crime. President Trump on Monday vowed that the arrest of a green card holder over his involvement in protests critical of Israel was the first of many to come, as civil liberty groups are pushing back against the campaign that has chilling implications for the First Amendment. So once again, we're going to read some of the executive orders. I've said this before, but there are anti-BDS laws, anti-boycott, divestment, and sanction laws in 38 states, which basically require all government employees to sign a pledge that said they will not criticize Israel. 38 states. It is illegal if you are a public employee to criticize Israel. And currently, with the executive order that Trump just issued, I think it was his first or second day in office, you could be fined or put in jail for up to 10 years for what they consider anti-Semitism. Continuing on. Over the weekend, Mahmoud Khalil, a recent Columbia grad student who served as a spokesman for student activists seeking the university's divestment from Israel, was detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE agents, in his university-owned apartment. For now, a federal judge is preventing Khalil from being deported. To preserve the court's jurisdiction pending a ruling on the petition, petitioner shall not be removed from the United States unless the court orders otherwise, Judge Jesse Furman of the Southern District of New York said in a court order in response to a petition filed by Khalil. When he was arrested, Khalil was told that under orders from the State Department, his visa would be revoked for his participation in the protests. He informed the agents that he had a green card making him a permanent resident and was told that it would be revoked instead. Khalil, an Algerian citizen of Palestinian descent, is married to an American citizen who's 8 months pregnant. He has been taken into ICE detention facility in Louisiana, 1,000 miles away from his wife in New York City, and has not been charged with any crime. So, yeah. Oh, Doc, good to see you, brother. As Trump attacking Massie makes zero sense from an American perspective, it just illustrates that action is Trump acting on instigation of the same Israel lobby that Massie spoke up against. Exactly. And that's exactly what this is about. And I made the tweet that, you know, they're more serious about deporting people who are anti-Israel than they are about people who are causing havoc. I mean, you know, J.D. Vance had that fantastic moment on the news where he was talking about Venezuelan gangs occupying apartments. Those people should absolutely be deported. Whatever you have to do, send the military in and get these people out if they're occupying apartments that Americans should be able to occupy peacefully. If they're interfering with the average American's, you know, quality of life to the degree that they can't walk down the street, you know, peacefully, then yeah, deport these people. But this isn't what the anti-Israel protests are doing. These people are largely peaceful. So, yeah, it's just absolute insanity. The Department of Homeland Security has only alleged that he led, quote unquote, led Hamas-aligned protests and said it targeted Khalil in support of President Trump's executive order prohibiting anti-Semitism, referring to an order from January meant to crack down on pro-Palestine protests at college campuses. Following my previously signed executive orders, ICE proudly apprehended and detained Mahmoud Khalil, a radical foreign pro-Hamas student, on the campus of Columbia University, President Trump wrote on Truth Social. So Red Hawk was in here earlier, and if he's still listening, I do agree with the point that if you are here illegally, right, you are not a citizen of the United States, then you shouldn't be afforded the same rights, right? Our government, people pay taxes as it is right now for the police force, for everything that we have, the civilization that we have, people pay taxes for this. And yes, this isn't perfectly libertarian. I'm okay with that. But right now, people pay taxes for protection, for, you know, the security and for maintaining the public commons as they are, right? If you are not a legal citizen here, then you are not afforded those rights because you are not legally paying taxes. You're not a citizen of this country, right? I am in favor of mass deportations. I am in favor of stricter immigration. That being said, under our current laws, this person is a legal resident of the United States. His wife is 8 months pregnant. Who is an American? I get it. She's an anchor baby. Okay, but I'm not in favor of creating more single mothers. And once again, as it stands currently, he had no way. There's no legality for revoking his green card under current laws. And there's plenty of other people you could deport first, but it's kind of funny how, once again, an anti-Israel protester was the first target. Not the first, but one of like the main big targets. So this is the first of many to come. We know there are many more students at Columbia and other universities across the country who've engaged in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic, anti-American activity, and the Trump administration will not tolerate it. On Sunday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio posted a story on X about Khalil being arrested and wrote, "We will be revoking visas or green cards of Hamas supporters in America so they can be deported." The term Hamas supporter has not been defined, and this is something that's very, very important. The term Hamas supporters has not been defined by the administration and critics of the U.S. support for, U.S. support for Israel and of U.S. Of Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories are often labeled pro-Hamas. The Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, FIRE, sent a letter to the Trump administration officials demanding answers about Khalil's arrest. Demonstrations occurring on Columbia's campus since October 7th, 2023 have included both constitutionally protected speech and unlawful conduct, but the government has not made clear the factual or legal basis for Mr. Khalil's arrest. Just absolutely ridiculous. And if they were, right, I wish I would have pulled up Janine Yunez's tweet, who was a, I think she was a constitutional lawyer who did a lot of like anti-lockdown lawsuits. If they were doing something that was unconstitutional or illegal, then there's legal recourse to punish these people, and they should be punished. I'm not necessarily completely on the side of these protesters, right? Like, I'm sure there's plenty of things that these leftist protesters have done that I would disagree with and think they probably should be arrested for. He had done none of these things. And if he did, then yes, there's absolutely legality and precedent to arrest him, right? The statements the government has released suggest its decision may be based on his constitutionally protected speech. This lack of clarity is chilling protected expression, as other permanent residents cannot know whether their lawful speech could be deemed to align to a terrorist organization and jeopardize their immigration status, FIRE added in the letter. And here he makes mention of Janine Yunez. You know what? I'll open that in a new tab. Janine Yunez, a civil liberties attorney, said in a post on X that Khalil's arrest was political persecution and pointed to the fact that the green card holders can't be deported without a conviction. Green card holders cannot be deported for mere charges, only actual convictions of crimes or moral turpitude and aggravated felonies. Those are defined in federal immigration law. And Khalil hasn't even been charged, Yunez said. They're all major red flags in this attempt to punish someone for expressing a view disfavored by the current administration and to scare others with similar views into silence. Joe Howley, a professor at Columbia, defended Khalil in his comments in the New York Times, saying it was unfair to depict him as a dangerous person. This is someone who seeks mediated resolutions through speech and dialogue, he said. This is not somebody who engages in violence or gets riled up or gets people riled up to do dangerous things. So it's really disturbing to see that kind of misrepresentation of him. Now, one thing I've pointed out before is that they sent the military in to crack down on some of these anti-Israel protests. What did they do in 2020 when entire cities were burning? They did nothing. The police were told to stand down in 2020 when whole city blocks were burning. But you protest Israel? Guess what? They send the military in on you. Let me run Nad real quick and we'll read this, some tweets, some Twitter stuff, and we'll also get to the executive order and all that stuff.
All right, we're going to take a second a day to chill and tell you about the show's sponsors, Tiger Fitness. Make sure you go to the link below to get all the supplements that I use day in, day out, and beyond. As I always say, you do not need supplements to become all jacked and tan or to progress in your health journey, but they could definitely be a useful tool in that respect. So as you can see on tigerfitness.com, we got MTS Nutrition, Blackstone Labs, Ambrosia, HPN, Nutrix Research, America Labs, Alani Nu, Pump Chasers, there's Redcon One, Accent Sledge, plenty of different companies that pretty much have absolutely any supplement you could possibly think of. Pre-workouts, fat burners, BCAAs, electrolyte mixes, you name it, it's on there. So go to Tiger Fitness through the link below. Use code Kyle at checkout to let them know that I sent you. Get your protein powder, you name it, anything that's going to help you stick to your diet and hopefully achieve your health goals. All right, thanks. Back to the show. All right. And anyways, back here, I bookmarked this tweet because I wanted to make sure I read this. Janine Yunes, make no mistake about it. The government snatching Mahmoud Khalil from his home Saturday night is political persecution. I worked as an appellate public defender for 9 years and defended numerous non-citizens being deported for criminal convictions. Green card holders cannot be deported for mere charges, only actual convictions of crimes of moral turpitude and aggravated felonies. Those are defined in federal immigration law, and Khalil hasn't even been charged. These are all major red flags that this is an attempt to punish someone for expressing views disfavored by the current administration and scare others with similar views into silence. The government shipped Khalil to Louisiana, presumably in hopes of finding more favorable judges for their pathetic case against Khalil, but I have faith that no member of the federal judiciary will buy into this. So there's that. Let me go to Donald Trump's statement here. So I had tweeted out after reading this, this will not stop at foreigners. While Trump is doing a lot of great things, the issue of Israel is no longer something we can ignore when American citizens are being detained over criticizing a foreign government. Imagine if they did this for Russia or China. So Donald Trump on a Truth Social post said, following my previously signed executive orders, ICE proudly apprehended and detained Mahmoud Khalil, a radical foreign pro-Hamas student on the campus of Columbia University. This is the first arrest of many to come. We know there are more students at Columbia and other universities across the country who have engaged in pro-terrorist, anti-Semitic, and anti-American activity, and the Trump administration will not tolerate it. Many are not students. They are paid agitators. We will find, apprehend, and deport these terrorist sympathizers from our country, never to return again. If you support terrorism, including the slaughtering of innocent men, women, and children, which if you support Israel, you support all those things, your presence is contrary to our national and foreign policy interests, and you are not welcome here. We expect every one of America's colleges and universities to comply. Thank you. Yes, if you support Israel, you support all of those things that he said at the very end of that truth. About to say tweet, but at the very end of that Truth Social post. Yes, if you support Israel, you support the mass slaughter of men, women, children, and innocent people. Absolutely. So let me go to this tweet from the White House. I don't know why it messes that all up. Oh, okay. This is the first of many arrests to come, and it's a picture of Mahmoud Khalil, led activities aligned to Hamas, which what the hell does that mean? He had a protest where he was calling for a ceasefire and peace in Israel. I like how they put that Trump took $230 million from Israeli and different Zionist lobbies. From Ted Cruz, promises made, promises kept. Anti-Semitism has no place anywhere near the United States. This would never have been possible without President Trump and AG Bondi's leadership. Just absolutely ridiculous. And what does anti-Semitism mean? The use of IHRA, which basically means the IHRA's definition, which basically means that if you don't like Israel, if you think we shouldn't fund Israel to the teeth, then that means you are anti-Semitic. That's pretty much what it means. So, and it's just so ambiguous. And as I've said the entire time, this will not stop. This will not stop. And it is not limited to college campuses. And to give the devil its due, and I know if Hawk was listening, he would probably like this, but I do believe that if...
The Quarter Pounder with cheese had many great things. Maple-flavored griddle cakes isn't one of them. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
If NGOs, non-governmental organizations, are violating immigration law or any kind of law, then they should absolutely be disbanded and taken before a court. And the, you know, the owners of those NGOs, the business owners, should absolutely be punished. You should be punished if you're violating a country's law specifically to agitate or cause any kind of chaos in the average life of people in America. Right. And that's what a lot of these NGOs did, is that they bus people in, they bus people out. They would bring caravans of immigrants in, and they probably do pay for some of these protests. Yes, if you're paying for those protests and they're not organic protests, then yeah, absolutely, you should be disbarred and you should be fined and you should be punished. If you are, you know, a foreign agent or a non-governmental agent, you know, financing these things specifically to cause chaos. But if you're a natural protester protesting a foreign government on U.S. soil, that's absolutely well within your rights. And I think if we cheer on the end of that, then I think we're cheering on our own demise. You know, I know there's plenty of people who are probably further right than me that don't like Israel, you know, more than I don't like Israel. You guys are next. That's why I'm speaking out against this right now, is because I don't want to see my friends be next. I don't want to see my friends thrown in jail over criticizing Israel. Because I don't think anybody should be thrown in jail for criticizing a foreign government in the United States, or even our own government. It's absolutely ridiculous. So once again, this is why I'm speaking out against this. So let's go to the executive order that Trump had put out on in his first couple of days. So dated, okay, maybe not. In the first 2 weeks of administration, additional measures to combat anti-Semitism. From the White House, January 29th, 2025. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, it is hereby ordered that Section 1, Purpose. My administration has fought and will continue to fight anti-Semitism in the United States and around the world. Which, like, how are you going to fight that around the world? On December 11th, 2019, I issued Executive Order 13899, my first executive order on combating anti-Semitism, finding that students in particular faced anti-Semitic harassment in schools and on university and college campuses. Executive Order 13899 provided interpretive assistance on the enforcement of the nation's civil rights laws to ensure that they would protect American Jews to the same extent to which all other American citizens are protected, which if they're American citizens and they're already protected, you don't need another executive order to do this. The prior administration effectively nullified Executive Order 13899 by failing to give the terms of the order full force and effect throughout the government. This order reaffirms Executive Order 13899 directs additional measures to advance the policy thereof in the wake of the Hamas terrorist attacks of October 7th, 2023 against the people of Israel. Well, if we're going to persecute and dissent against the people who criticize or the people who perpetrated the October 7th terrorist attacks by Hamas, then you're going to have to perpetrate against the state of Israel, because it is abundantly clear at this point that Yoav Gallant even admitted, Yoav Gallant, the former defense minister in Israel, admitted, not just kind of tap danced around it, admitted to using the Hannibal Directive, which basically states that if there are Israeli hostages, they're to be killed. They are to be killed then, rather than to be taken hostage. That's what the Hannibal Directive is. Yoav Gallant admitted to using the Hannibal Directive on October 7th, 2023. The state of Israel killed its own people on October 7th, 2023. I can't stress that point enough. It wasn't just Hamas. And there was foreknowledge from Egypt, and I think even from Qatar. There was foreknowledge and even some of the IDF troops monitoring the border around October 7th knew that there was something going on. And the attacks still happen anyways. You could probably make a pretty strong argument that they let that attack happen. Do we know for sure? No. But you have foreknowledge. The IDF troops saw that there were drills going on. And then there were even funds being transferred from Qatar to Hamas. Not just back in the day when, you know, when the last election in, you know, in Gaza was back in 2005. Even recently, there were still funds going to Hamas. You got a pretty strong argument to say that BB might have let that happen. Anyways, continuing on. These attacks unleashed an unprecedented wave of vile anti-Semitic discrimination, vandalism, and violence against our citizens, especially in our schools and on our campuses. Jewish students had faced unrelenting barrage of discrimination, denial of access to campus common areas and facilities, including libraries and classrooms, and intimidation, harassment, and physical threats and assault. A joint report by the House Committees on Education and the Workforce, Energy and Commerce, Judiciary Oversight and Accountability, Veterans Affairs, and Ways and Means caused the federal government's failure to fight anti-Semitism to protect Jewish students astounding. This failure is unacceptable and ends today. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And it also fails to mention that a lot of the protesters are Jewish. There's Israeli protesters, Jewish protesters, protesting what's going on in Israel here in America. Absolutely ridiculous. Section 2 policy. It shall be the policy of the United States to combat anti-Semitism vigorously using all available and appropriate legal tools to prosecute, remove, or otherwise hold to account perpetrators of unlawful anti-Semitic harassment and violence. What does that mean? Part of the thing with Mahmoud Khalil was also that they said he was in favor of, or that he was supporting Hamas. Okay, how was he supporting Hamas? Was he giving them aid? Was he sending them money? What was he doing? That was never specified. Additional measures under Section 3, additional measures to combat campus anti-Semitism. A, within 60 days of the date of this order, the head of each executive department agency should submit a report to the president through the assistant to the president for domestic policy, identifying all civil and criminal authorities or actions within the jurisdiction of that agency beyond those already implemented under Executive Order 13899. That might be used to curb or combat anti-Semitism and containing an inventory and analysis of all pending administrative complaints as of the date of the report against or involving institutions of higher education alleging civil rights violations related to or arising from post-October 7th, 2023 campus anti-Semitism. B. The report submitted by the Attorney General under this section shall additionally include an inventory and analysis of all court cases as of the date of the report against or involving institutions of higher education alleging civil rights violations related to or arising from post-October 7th campus anti-Semitism and indicate whether the Attorney General intends to or taken any action with respect to such matters, including filing statements of interest or intervention. C. The Attorney General encouraged to employ appropriate civil rights enforcement authorities such as 18 U.S.C. 241 to combat anti-Semitism. So this is where, I'm not a lawyer or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure when I read through this that you could be fined or thrown in jail for 10 years under this specific guideline here. D. The report submitted by the Secretary of Education under this section shall additionally include an inventory and analysis of all Title VI complaints of administrative actions. I believe it's Title IX. Including K-12 education related to anti-Semitism pending or resolved after October 7th, 2023 within the Department Office for Civil Rights, I believe that would be Title IX. In addition to identifying relevant authorities to curb or combat anti-Semitism generally required by the section, the Secretary of State, Secretary of Education, the Secretary of Homeland Security, in consultation with each other, shall include in their reports recommendations for familiarizing institutions with higher education with the grounds for inadmissibility under that specific section so that such institutions may monitor for report activities by alien students and staff relevant to those grounds, for ensuring that such reports about aliens lead, as appropriate and consistent with applicable law, to investigations and, if warranted, actions to remove such aliens. So going back to the Mahmoud Khalil and how he's removed, there was no legal precedent for him to be removed. under current jurisdiction, according to Gene Yunez, who once again is a civil rights attorney, and by everything that I've read. So Section 4, General Provisions, nothing in this order shall be construed to impair or otherwise affect the authority granted by law to an executive department or agency or the head thereof, the functions of the director of the Office of Management and Budget relating to budgetary, administrative, or legislative protocols. This order shall be implemented consistent with applicable law and subject to the availability of appropriations. This order is not intended to and does not create any right or benefit, substantive, procedural, enforceable at law, or an equity in any party against the United States, its departments, agencies, and or entities, its officers, employees, or agents, or any other person. So they say that, but then they completely break the law by detaining Mahmoud Khalil, who once again, under all U.S. current laws, is a legal resident here. So as you could see, I mean, this once again is the reason why I wouldn't support Trump. It's because of stuff like this. What is anti-Semitism? If you disagree with the current administration on Israel, then you're an anti-Semite and you should be thrown in jail. Not a good precedent, especially if we're considering this to be free speech and we want to be America first. America first does not include Israel. Last time I checked, Israel is in the 51st state. They're not in the 50 states. They're not even in the U.S. They're thousands of miles away. But that's what $230 million gets you from Israeli lobbies, Zionist donors. That's what it gets you. Jailing dissidents of U.S.-Israeli, of the U.S.-Israeli relationship. So let's go to this, and I don't even understand how this is under the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Like, what are we doing? Okay, let me zoom in here. So from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Health and Human Services Education Department and GSA announced additional measures to end anti-Semitic harassment on college campuses. And of course, who leads the Department of Health and Human Services? RFK. Who's a rabid fucking Zionist? RFK. Who's probably completely compromised by Israel through blackmail or some other way? Robert Kennedy Jr. Measures will include a comprehensive review of federal contracts and grants given to institutions of higher education that are being investigated for dereliction of duties to curb or combat anti-Semitism, violence, and harassment. Washington. Today, the Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Education, the U.S. General Services, announced a comprehensive review of Columbia University's federal contracts and grants of, in light of ongoing investigations for potential violations of Title IX of the Civil Rights Act. So I want to make it clear that I am in favor of reducing funding and doing whatever you can to get rid of all these ridiculous, funding these universities, because generally they do put out a bunch of shit libs and people that really I don't think are in the right mind for what's good for the country. That being said, if we're doing it under the guise of anti-Semitism, I think that sets a very bad precedent, and I'm going to speak out against that. That's all. Given Columbia's ongoing inaction in the face of relentless harassment of Jewish students, the federal government's task force to combat anti-Semitism is considering stop work orders for $51.4 million in contracts between Columbia University and the federal government. The task force will also conduct a comprehensive review of more than $5 billion in federal grant commitments to Columbia University, ensure the university is in compliance with federal regulations, including its civil rights responsibilities. Anti-Semitism, like racism, is a spiritual and moral malady that sickens societies and kills people with lethalities comparable to the history's most deadly plagues, said HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. In recent years, the censorship and false narratives of woke cancel culture has transformed our great universities and greenhouses for this deadly and virulent pestilence. Making America healthy means building communities of trust, mutual respect based on speech and freedom and open debate. And unless you disagree on Israel. You disagree on Israel, then you don't get free speech. Which is funny because that was a selling point for Trump and for the Republicans. But once again, if you disagree on Israel, you don't get free speech. shameless. Absolutely awful. The task force review is the first major action announced from the multi-agency task force to combat anti-Semitism created by Trump's executive order titled Additional Measures to Combat Anti-Semitism. Americans have watched in horror for more than a year now as Jewish students have been assaulted and harassed on elite university campuses. You really haven't seen that much of that. And there has been some false flags. Let's be completely honest here. Unlawful encampments and demonstrations have completely paralyzed day-to-day campus operations, depriving Jewish students of learning opportunities of which they're entitled, said Secretary of Education Linda McMahon. Institutions that receive federal funds that have a responsibility to protect all students from discrimination. Columbia's apparent failure to uphold their end of this basic agreement raises various serious questions about the institution's fitness to continue doing business with the United States government. The General Service Administration has been asked to facilitate a review of federal funding received by Columbia, including grant and contract reviews across the federal government. The GSA remains committed to upholding federal acquisition standards and ensuring the government contracts reflect our nation's values, including the fight against anti-Semitism, said the FAS Commissioner Task Force member Josh Grunbaum. With this partnership, we'll be working across the government to end the culture of anti-Semitism in our institutions of higher education, putting all institutions on notice that will not be tolerated per President Trump's executive order. At this time, no immediate contracting actions have been taken. So for more information, visit the announcement of the formation of the Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism. You know what? We'll pull that up. So this stuff is just absolutely ridiculous. And I know there's probably people out there saying, well, what's your solution? If campuses bring people that are making the experience for students, not just Jewish students, any students that they can't just go to class, then they have security for that. The security forces should absolutely break up these protests if they are not in accordance with proper guidelines within those campuses. I disagree with it if it's under the guise of just protecting Israel, but once again, if they are breaking the law, then absolutely they should be punished. They should be fined. Whatever, the proper legal recourse should be taken if they are breaking the law. If they're not, then they have a right to protest. This is clearly not about mass deportations. Trump stopped reporting on deportation numbers because he doesn't want to upset his base. Yeah, and my understanding is, and I haven't looked into this, but deportation numbers are way, way down, right? Like they're not what they once were. And I've seen some people even say that there's been less deportations under the same time frame versus the Biden administration, where Joe Biden literally did more deportations. Do I know that for a fact? No, I've seen that. I've read that. Don't know. Someone, if you're in the comments, please verify. Don't take it from me. Obviously, you can look it up, all of this stuff for yourself. And I didn't put in the description below, but I'll make sure I put all this stuff in when I finish doing the show here. So I want to read this last thing before we close on out of here. Let me put this on stage. Justice Department announces a formation of a task force to combat anti-Semitism. Monday, February 3rd, 2025. Pursuant to Trump's executive order on additional measures to combat anti-Semitism, the Justice Department announced that today, the formation of a multi-agency task force to combat anti-Semitism. The task force's first priority will be to root out anti-Semitic harassment in schools and college campuses. In addition to the Department of Justice, the task force will include representatives from the U.S. Department of Education, the HHS, and other agencies as it develops. The task force will be coordinated throughout the Department of Civil Rights Division. Anti-Semitism in any environment is repugnant to this nation's ideals, said senior counsel to the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, Leo Terrell, who will be heading the task force. The department takes seriously our responsibility to eradicate this hatred wherever it is found. The task force to combat anti-Semitism is the first step in giving life to President Trump's renewed commitment to ending anti-Semitism in schools. If you have been discriminated against, you can file a complaint with the Civil Rights Division at all this stuff right here. So there literally is a task force, a fucking task force for stopping anti-Semitism. And if you think it's going to stop at schools, I think you're full of shit. I don't think this stops at schools. I think this keeps going. I think this gets worse. And I think this goes to you. If you're listening to this podcast right now, and you disagree with the U.S.-Israeli relationship, you will be targeted. Do I know for 100% certainty? No. But man, it doesn't look good. They're literally attacking the free speech of Americans over a foreign government. If you dissent on the U.S.-Israeli relationship, you could be fined. You could be imprisoned. And more than likely, you're going to be censored here soon. So obviously the solution to all this stuff, end it all. Anti-Semitism, it is what it is. It's like racism now at this point, right? It's meaningless. People throw this term out whenever you disagree with them because they don't want to argue with you. They can't argue with you on the merits of your argument, so they'll just call you a name, right? And this is just, people were talking about the woke being put away. It's not. It's shifting forms now. The leftists are still going to be absolutely insane, batshit crazy, but now all the right wingers are now up in arms about anti-Semitism. We're talking about this little tiny section of the population who, you know, if you're an American, yeah, I believe you should have your rights protected, and I believe you should be afforded all the same respects that we afford everybody else. But that means you don't get privileges above and beyond everybody else, right? It's ridiculous. And the Trump administration and all the other parts, probably, you know, the different lackeys working in social media, are probably going to go after this. And I got to say, the silence on a lot of people who voted for Trump that just aren't talking about this, it's kind of astounding to me because, once again, in 2020, 2021, when people were being censored over COVID misinformation, I was right there with you. You should have never been censored. You should have never been thrown off social media for dissenting about the, you know, COVID company line, if you will. Absolutely not. It's ridiculous. You should have never been thrown off social media for, you know, positing questions about the origins of COVID or the origins of the vaccine and, you know, the potential side effects of it. But now these people are nowhere to be found when they're making executive orders over the speech of Israel. Now somebody who, under our current laws, is perfectly legal to be here, is being detained, and nobody has information about this. They took this fucking dude from his house in the middle of the night, took him thousands of miles away from his 8-month pregnant wife because he disagreed about the U.S.-Israeli relationship peacefully. That is a scary precedent, man. I don't like it. Don't like it one bit. So anyways, that was threw a lot at you guys for the show today. I wasn't going to do this podcast today, but once again, I saw this story circulating all over social media and had a little bit of time tonight. I feel like crap, but I wanted to pull through for everybody here. So thank you guys so much for listening. A Common Crown schedule is pretty packed. We got two shows coming up next weekend, which are going to be awesome. Lacey Sturm at the Raindrop Inn, March 21st. That one's going to be a blast. Super, super excited for that. If you need tickets, if you're in the local area, feel free to hit me up. I will do my best to get you tickets. Hate Grenade the day after out in Ebensburg. Eddie Grimm, I know you said you're going to be there, so I'm looking forward to meeting you. Julie Mastrini, who's a friend of the show as well, she said she's going to be there with her boyfriend, so it's going to be really, really cool. Super excited to meet everybody out there. So two shows next weekend, Friday and Saturday. If you become a channel member, you could see the footage of both, and I will figure out my GoPro. The first video I got was of our Lynch Mob show, which it looks great. It sounds great. So you could see that if you choose to become a channel member for the lowly price of $2.99 a month. And as everybody knows now, the wife and I are expecting. So please support us in these hard and desperate times, being a little facetious. But yeah, please become a channel member for $2.99 a month where you can see all the footage for Common Crown. This Thursday show, so in 2 days, I'm having Dave the Distributist, Dave Green, on to talk about the right and where it's going and some of like the philosophical roots. That's going to be a really, really cool show, and I'm really looking forward to that. I've enjoyed all the debates that he's done and some of the conversations he had with some mutual friends of ours. So that's going to be really, really cool. We're also playing at The Forge next month, April 19th. So that's going to be with our buddies in Skell, and then some shows later on down the line. So hopefully, if you're in the chat right now, I'll see you somewhere. If not, I will see you guys Thursday night with Dave the Distributist. Make sure all the links below as usual. I think that's all I got for you guys. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. And until next time, take care.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.